My name is Manana Taiki, member of the committee.
Morning. My name is Ndinam Papuri from National Department of Health, dealing with the infrastructure.
Morning. I'm Melvin Freeman from the Department of Health, Chief Director for Non-Communicable Diseases.
Good morning, members. Honorable members. My name is Tanya Reilly. I'm the Head of Corporate Services for National Health.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Andrew Kelly. I'm the DG.
Good morning. I'm Joe Kata, Parliamentary Liaison Officer.
Good morning, honorable members. I'm Jeanette Lancia. I'm the DDG for Primary Health Care, National Department of Health.
Good morning, honorable members. I'm Terence Carter. I'm DDG responsible for hospital surgery services, workforce training, and development.
Good morning, honorable members. I'm Gilvin Kelly, DDG responsible for HIV, TB, and the Center of Child Health Program for the National Hospital.
Good morning, my name is Gilvin Kelly.
Okay, no, thank you. Oh, I almost forgot about this. Good morning, sorry, I'm a family and I'm the community for the ACLA.
I'm Gabriel Kaliki from the
UD. I'm
the Kamishna from the UD. My name is Kawaka. I'm Officer Secretary.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Mkululi. I'm a researcher for this community.
Okay. I'm a Kulikovich for the UD.
Good morning, Kevin McKay, Economic Advisor for the Comic.
Thank you very much. Let me start off by apologizing for the connection in the room. We did not anticipate such a huge delegation. But thank you very much, Honorable Deputy Minister, for such a delegation because you definitely made it. And the DG. I propose to also say that I'm a former member of the when I started joining the government, that was there in 1994. I was appointed by this department in Mpumalanga province, which was still, it was Eastern Transvaal by then, responsible for coordination of the HIV and AIDS program in the province. So I do have some links yes. But having said that, I think we thank you very much for the introduction. Let me, we don't have enough time for very limited time into the program that we're having. Just after the discussion, we are having a discussion of common affairs. As you all like to this election, we have got a five department for the time, it's raining, and it got still a time for training. But I will direct you, Honorable Deputy Minister, raising our concern. Not a concern, maybe some health issues that we must deal with from the beginning. We will appreciate that the case of the minister. As I said before, that we can familiarize ourselves. Because our understanding as an institution is to strengthen the department. So we will not be able to do that if we are not getting a document on time to see. I'm told that we only got to see the finding. As members, we only got to see the finding. So we did not have time to go through them. Next time, in our next meeting, if we don't get investment in time, we're not going to meet, because it means that we're not starting the process. I just want to speak back on to the department so that we must just understand each other from that. And it is a serious matter that I'm going to do. Not a shouting question, but I'm just saying that next time, we're not going to take the department if we don't have information, because our point is to strengthen the department, not policing, but strengthening it. In order for us to do that, we must have information, because we are not directly involved in the department on a day-to-day activity as members of the select committee. But in the absence of the team, I just wanted to talk to few matters that we have expectations as the committee. One of the issues that we're expecting is alignment of the program to the policy directives. I think you know some of the policy directives. One of them, it could be a SONA, it could be your MCP, it could be MCP. Our understanding is that in terms of the programs and projects, in terms also the resources that you should support to your program, should be in mind with those policy directives. And we also would want to, as you would be presenting, the state of ready for the department to be needed. In many times, you find that at the end of the financial year, the department will be indicating that we're not able to implement this because of shortage of time. But the question is, why did you, from the onset, put a program in place if you knew that it was on a short time, meaning that you have to be very strong on the formative evaluation. Formative evaluation says if you want to do a DCP, you must ask yourself, do you have the program? Do you have special money? If there is a research that has to be done, have you done the research? It doesn't come as students at the end of the training. You look at those things as you do your training. So what you are saying, the state of readiness, not a question of getting money, but you must be ready every time. When you say, I need money to do ABCD, but you must also ask yourself, are we ready? Then the other matter that I want to speak to, or want to speak to, is the issue of keeping of 24 years. To what extent are we towards achieving that? Where do we stand as a department? Because we committed as government that 2014 we are going to get to the end. Do you have plans in place to address issues of the management sessions from the old container? How far are we? I know that because you know we are from provinces.
to know how we're doing this. To what extent are we assisting departments, I mean provinces, as relations departments? Then the last mention, your programs and priorities. How far are you, how far are they in line with the provincial priorities? All what we're doing at the Department of National Defense should be supporting what provinces are doing. Going through some of your documents, I realize that about four of the provinces did not do well in terms of the National General Report. At what extent do we have it in your plan? How do we want to assist the government? But the last one, just this morning I was watching TV, people talking about the state of our health facilities. The queues that we have there, you know. What is that we're doing as a society to address those things, especially when people come in to collect or get their medication, the drugs, if I may use the term that they're using. And what are the plans? Can't we learn from other classes, like departments that are in this class, home affairs? We know home affairs used to have serious problems in terms of queues when people queue for ID, and the turnaround time used to take more than 2 months, but now that's one or two the most people have their ID. What is it that you can learn from our super department as a department? So in the absence of the documents, I think this is what one has tried to look at the expectation as you should then try to speak to those things. And I would like to hand over to the deputy on the documents so then you guide us through the communication.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and my sincere apology for the matters you have raised in terms of the number of documents that the members received in the desirable that the members the documentation in order for them to be able to prepare. So please accept my apology on behalf of the team for that, for the latest submission of the document. We'll definitely make sure that that is corrected in the future. Let me also take this opportunity to make an apology for the minister. He was also wanting to be here, but there were other cabinet matters, general matters of cabinet which he needed to attend to. So he's sending his sincere apology. We do appreciate the fact that the very limited time, Chairperson, as you have said, so we will try within the limited time to do our best in terms of giving yourself, and I'm sure this will definitely not the last time for them to be in time to the committee. It should be, even though you may not hear much from many of the members of the management who are present here, but at least you can associate whenever there are matters related to the department, you will be able to associate issues with some faces of management in the department. From time to time, you will be able to follow up with some of the matters. Chair, what I'll do, I'll make a brief just overview, introductory overview, and then I'll hand over to the GG who will be most of the presentation, and then when there's during the discussions, the other members of the team on the instruction of the GG will be able to also add in on specific matters. Thanks, Chair. Chairperson, as you have said, just to assure you that our strategic plan is definitely premised and anchored on major policy documents, policy decisions of the government. And as all members would remember that in this term of the fifth democratic government and democratic parliament, we have committed ourselves to the full implementation of the National Development Plan. So our strategic plan and our annual plans, our medium-term strategic framework is all anchored around the National Development Plan. From the health perspective, the National Development Plan, among others, identified a number of goals, top of which is the question of improvement in the life expectancy. And the target for the 2030 target in terms of the life expectancy arising from the National Development Plan, it's 7 years. Just to say, honorable members will be aware maybe that at the present moment, just in terms of where we are by the year 2014 on this goal, we're currently standing at an average life expectancy of 6 years, having improved over the last 4 years from 2009, when life expectancy was at an average of 56 years, and currently through various interventions, we're currently standing at 6 years on average of life expectancy. So that's one of the major goals in terms of the national. If you look into the document, the one which is strategic focus. Yeah, I'm speaking to that document, which is also strategic focus 2014 to 2019. Among the other goals identified as a goal to be achieved by 2030, as mentioned, life expectancy, prevention and cure of tuberculosis to be improved, maternal infant and child mortality to be reduced. Again, this will also, some of them also speak to Millennium Development Goals, as the chair has mentioned. Maternal child and child mortality, which is MDG goal 4 and 5. Prevalence of non-communicable diseases to be reduced. Injury, accident, violence reduced by 50%. Let me also just quickly just mention that this also captures the challenge which we have in our country in terms of the burden of disease. What is identified here in the National Development Goals target for 2030 also speaks to our quotable burden of disease as matters which as a country in terms of HIV/AIDS, TB, maternal child and infant mortality rates, non-communicable diseases, and also the challenge of injury and accident. So if we look into the alignment in terms of the goals which have been identified by the National Development Plan, now MTSF, you'll find priorities which align to that as being HIV/AIDS and tuberculosis prevented and successfully managed, maternal child and child mortality reduced. And if you go into the strategic goals within the department, you'll find that we also speak to the same matter. And next, in terms of the NDP goals, the health systems reforms completed. As the chair indicated, just anecdotally in terms of some of the reports, we know that with the high burden of disease, our health facilities are struggling in terms of coping. So it's part of the NDP goals is to improve the health systems. From our medium-term strategic framework priorities, we also speak to that, improving health facility planning and infrastructure and delivery, reducing the cost of healthcare and efficient management also of our information system and decision making and improved quality of healthcare overall. In as far as aligning to that in terms of our strategic goals for 2014-2015, we're talking about improving the health facility planning and implementing norms and standards in all our health facilities. Improving financial management by improving capacity, contract management, revenue collection, and supply chain. We know that part of the reason why many of our facilities, whether it be clinics and hospitals, are not coping, and also as we speak, as Chairperson was just alluding, in the very, amongst others, the province where she comes from, the issue of financial management has arisen as a major factor, resulting in a situation where the Premier and the Treasury of the province have actually put the department under curatorship. Is not the only one. So these are one of the matters which we have identified as a major priority in terms of financial management, revenue collection, and procurement. Develop an efficient health management information system. Information system is also very key among the issues which the DG will speak to later on. The very same problem of queues, which the chair have alluded to in the introduction, part of that in many of our facilities, you find that it's just the management of records. People come and spend many hours before even just waiting for consultation, just waiting to retrieve our records. So those are some of the things which we are addressing. Also, still on the goals, improve the quality of care by setting and monitoring national norms and standards, improving systems of user feedback, increasing safety in healthcare, and by improving clinical governance. In this respect, again, just to emphasize the fact that we are also conscious of the fact that for us to say that the system is improving and functioning better, it must be not based on just our own assessment, but it must also be based on the feedback from the users. And we can only be able to do that if we work in tandem with, communities, making sure that at the district level we have our community structures functioning, at the hospital level, the hospital board, that we can only be able to be effective if there is collaboration with the members of the community. Again, on the NDP goals, primary health care teams deployed to provide care to families and communities. On the MTFF, what we say that our focus is to re-engineer primary health care. We're talking about re-engineering also in our strategic goals, because we're not starting from scratch. Primary health care has always been a focus, a key strategy of the department, but we're also conscious of the fact that a lot has to be improved if we are to make sure that even though we've been focusing on the primary health care, but part of our problem currently is that our society is very much focused on hospital care, curative approach to health care. And that's why you would find that part of the reason why many of our hospitals, even tertiary hospitals, face a major burden is because we've probably maybe not been able to get people, our people, orientated towards the fact that it is, in the interest of the user, not just in terms of, convenience for the department, for people to utilize our primary care facilities before we can, progress into our hospitals, including our tertiary hospitals. The next goal in terms of the NDP, which is universal health coverage, and the introduction of the national health insurance as a priority and a goal. This is a major focus over the next 5 years, because we are conscious of the fact that part of the problem which we face as a country is the fact that our healthcare has increasingly being very much, prioritized. And in that process, a lot of people are not covered in terms of quality healthcare. And we believe that in line with the World Health Organization, the introduction of the National Health Insurance will go a long way in terms of improving the quality of care for all our people. The next area is on the human resource post filled with skilled, committed, and competent individuals, improving management in terms of our MTSF on our goals, the improvement of human resources. Chair and honorable members, we also know that while there are various challenges in terms of the efficiency of our facilities, some of which may be in terms of a shortage of finances and other resources, but we know that very key is the question of management, that over time we have become a bit lax in terms of making sure that at various levels of our facilities, the people who are appointed to manage those facilities have the necessary skills and competence to can manage those facilities. So this is something which is identified in the National Development Plan and also runs through in terms of our medium-term strategic framework and also in terms of the strategy of the strategic plan and annual plans of the department. Again, just I think on the next slide, it really just concretizing the points which I've raised, which appear in the National Development Plan, just in a comprehensive way, just to confirm that indeed our plans and our programs are indeed based on the National Development Plan. As a result of that, Chair, I will quickly just, as I move to conclude so that the DG can be able to take us through. Just to confirm also that in terms of our vision is also based on the 14 priorities of government. You would know that in the last term, in terms of the outcomes approach of government, the last 5 years, government went on the basis of 12 outcomes. These outcomes have been reviewed, and in the next 5 years, we'll be working on the basis of 14 outcomes. The outcome on which the health department is focusing is outcome number 2, which is also our vision, a long and healthy life for all South Africans. And in terms of our mission, capturing a lot of what I've said already, our mission is to improve health status through the prevention of illness and also the promotion of healthy lifestyles. Because we again want to, we understand very clearly that our mandate is not just to intervene when ill health has already come in. We must also promote healthy lifestyle and prevention of illness and to consistently improve the healthcare delivery system by focusing on access, equity, efficiency, quality and sustainability. So where ill health has already set in, it's our responsibility as well to intervene and make sure that South Africans can have access to a healthcare delivery system which is equitable, which is efficient and of a high quality. So on that note, I'll hand over to the DG to take us forward.
No, I just put in this 5 minutes in the
reserve. So it will be time for you to engage so that what is not coming.
No, we do. Okay. So I think the members will have plus minus 40 minutes.
Okay, thank you. Honorable Chair members. We have shared this with the strategic and annual performance plan as well as the budget development. But if each project also from the summary of the budget, I will not use it because it took us 2 days to discuss with the portfolio committee, to discuss the situation with me. And I would like to apologize because for that reason we could only go to the department on Friday because we spent 2 full days here discussing both these documents. For purposes of this discussion, just to give an overview, we also have the short version, which is a strategic focus. Honorable members, the 5-year strategic goals, which are covered in the strategic plan, are outlined as follows. The first one is about, it's the same one. Yes, the very next page, page 6 of this document. The first is about making progress about universal health coverage, which is the development of national health insurance, and improving the readiness of health facilities for implementation. Chair, as you opened your remarks about the state of readiness, and this is what we're trying to do at the moment to take our ground through the pilot, NHI pilot plan. We will share with you soon the appraisal of each solar district in the NHI county because we've assessed all of them to look at how well we are doing, where the problems are, and how we fix those problems. So that appraisal has just been included there during a program with Edmund, and we'll be sharing that. Second feature is about re-engineering climate healthcare. We've actually come up with 4 streams of work. One is with regard to work-based primary healthcare outreach team, and these are the community health workers, 6 care wards, plus the MS, meaning they are led by MS, and there are 6 community health workers. South Africa has 4,000 wards. That means we will have 4,000 times 7 of these teams. So it's quite a significant number. But it's important that we invest in that process, honorable members, precisely because these are people who are going to go into houses to pick up if there are any problems. Problems with regard to children who have not been immunized, to ensure that they are taken to facilities for immunization. Women who are pregnant who do not attend antenatal care. If within a household, it might be that someone has TB and has not been referred. So it's to pick up on problems. So we'll use that as an opportunity to promote healthy lifestyle. So we've so far trained 9,000 of them. So it's still a long way to go. Considering that we need 7 times 4,000, we've trained 9,000 so far. The third chair is about improving the quality of care. Parliament passed a law to establish the Office of Health Standard Compliance, and this body is supposed to ensure that every health establishment in this country, not just the public sector, every health establishment, as defined in law, needs standards that are set, normal standards. And there are core standards, honorable members, including what the honorable chair referred to. And these are things that the members of the public complain about on a daily basis. Long queues, stock out. When they go to a facility, they are told to come back the following day for medicine. So that will be a measure by which this office says you do not meet the standard. And sanctions can be taken against a particular CEO in a facility or individuals in a facility. It's about infection control, which is becoming a global concern, precisely because of antimicrobial resistance, and people are becoming non-responsive because some of the antibiotics that are used are becoming resistant. It's not just about TB medication only or ARVs only, it's also about ordinary antibiotics that are needed in daily care and for clinical care. So the other chair are about cleanliness, security of staff, security of patients. We do not want patients to go to our facilities and they are attacked or they are raped. So this is one measure that will ensure that those standards are complied with and this is a motivation to ensure that. Chair, it is also about improving facility planning. This is to ensure that people have physical access. We define access in four dimensions. The first one is about physical access. The second one is therapeutic access. Therapeutic access means people must get treatment that they need. They must get diagnosis when they need diagnosis. They must be treated when they need treatment. And if there are certain medications, these must be available at the right time in all facilities. The other measure of access, honorable members, is about financial access. This is about affordability. It doesn't help if people access services physically, but they cannot access because medication is unaffordable or they have to pay out of pocket. The next one here is about quality. In most studies that have been conducted globally, it can be shown that actually poor quality denies people access. People will not use our services if they think quality is poor, and they will opt out of accessing those services. So it is in our interest that we use that quality measure as a measure of access. The next case about improving financial management. Honorable member, the chair raised this already about how are we going to achieve clean audits. I need to just assure you that it's not common that one would make a bold statement. We have written into our plan that we would like to achieve a good audit outcome, not just the National Department of Health, but also the enlisted provinces. So it's a very firm commitment, because we're not saying as national departments would like to achieve a good audit outcome. We've also included the provinces in our own performance, which is a very firm commitment. And I'd like to just indicate
which line in that sense.
Well, it's firm, honorable members, in a sense that every province has an accounting officer.
Mm.
And every accounting officer in a province has to account in terms of the finances that are allocated. So I'm taking responsibility for on their behalf, which is not common. And I would like to say that commitment goes with the kind of support we provide. The first kind of support that we started providing was with regard to the technical assistance unit that Treasury has established. We work in partnership with TAU in Treasury and the Accountant General. We will share those reports so that you can see in 2010 what is it that we saw in every province. We have a report per province, and on the basis of which we've actually summarized what we have understood to be all these problems in each and every province. The summary is one, assets. Most of the audit outcomes are in relation to assets. The second is about revenue. And the third is about human resources. Those three were the areas that we identified just from the preliminary work that we did with Treasury in all the provinces. We then made commitments that we were going to support. We appointed unemployed graduates, there were about 500 of them, in finance, HR and IT. And the outcome, Chair, was a big disappointment in some of the provinces. I need to put this on record. That Western Cape said they don't need this, because of course they get good audit outcomes. They said they don't need this support. Mpumalanga chased those students, unemployed graduates, away. KZN also said we do not need them, they send them back. So it is only in six provinces where we could provide support. For that reason, Honorable Chair and members, we can share the report per province for those six provinces where we have started collecting revenue, and you can see the results. We have actually surpassed the targeted amount that should have been collected by each of the hospitals when we started this work. And we have a report that we can share with you so that you can see the outcome. The next chair, the second was with regard to the assets. We also identified the provinces that needed support. Not all provinces said yes, they agreed to the support. We appointed outstanding ITA using development aid money differs in EU. In the Eastern Cape, indeed, there's been a problem of historical assets, but I can respond that to help them. Count the assets, document them, and put the serial
barcode.
The barcode, yes, with the serial number. In Mpumalanga, they've also made a considerable progress with regard to IT, at least that they agreed to. Gauteng, I think they've made considerable progress. Most of the matters have been addressed. In KZN, a provincial treasury has also been working, meaning ICN as well, in Mpumalanga, Gauteng, KZN, and Northern Cape. Meaning those are the kind of commitments. So we have the report per province, but also the kind of support we provided, which was shared with the honorable members. So we will continue to make those investments, and we will continue to commit. The next one is about human resources for health by ensuring appropriate appointments and training. Honorable members, this is one area. I think two areas that will make or break health. It's human resource for health and information management. If we do not have information, we can't test. If we have information that is not credible, we also can't make some decisions. So this is one area where we've invested, and we'll share with you exactly what it is that we've done. The second honorable member is about human resources. If you look at the provinces that have been in the red or that have experienced difficulties, it has been historically Eastern Cape, Gauteng, and Limpopo, precisely because they've increased their human resources over a 3-year period by 45,000. And when we did an assessment about 5 years ago with the ISP and the former Auditor General, the outcome was that for a number of years we've actually increased our human resources, particularly nurses, by only 2%, doctors by 1.8%. But if you look at general assistance, it was by, I think, 100% or more, or 300%. I look at the figures again. So it means we have been starting the health system with administrative staff, when we actually need doctors and nurses, and this is what we're trying to correct. How we are correcting that, we started doing an assessment with the World Health Organization using a tool called WISEN. This is a starting normative and work where we look at the number of nurses we need per facility. It also tells you the type of facility, the burden of disease, but also the catchment population that is set in that particular area. So we finished that work for primary health care. We can tell you which facilities are overstaffed, which ones are understaffed, and we are negotiating. Now, we are negotiating with the provinces now. Initially, it will be negotiations, but long-term, honorable members, there is a provision in the National Health Act that requires that we have regulations. So we have to impose on provinces to comply with those long-term standards. They have asked that initially, it might through guidance, you must guide them, and we agree as well, because you need to strengthen and build capacity to ensure that they can comply. So this is overall the strategic thrust. With regard to information, honorable members, I wanted to say that we have developed the district health information system, but it is not enough just to know what the burden of disease is per district, because we can give you a profile of the district in terms of the socioeconomic indicators, in terms of health indicators. But honorable members, it is not enough. We still need to have patient information in a facility. And we have started that work. We are busy at the moment implementing 700. In 700 facilities, we are implementing 3,370 information systems. And we will roll it out as we go along for each of the provinces. Honorable members, if you allow me, we'd also like to run a workshop with you, if you agree, so that we can teach you how to use this tool called NET. Now, this gives you information for every single facility in this country. You will know what its status is. You will know what it looks like. You will know whether the trailers are working or not. You will know whether the sheds are in good working condition. You will know the staffing and so on. And perhaps for the oversight function, you will be able to have better information. But you will have to train you, but also have you get an information system accessible as soon as you are available for that purpose. And for us, it is going to improve our ability to plan, but also for decision-making purposes. So, honorable members, I will then, on the basis of you, run through the rest of the other pages. The next one about NHI, what you are suggesting, there will be a white paper. The white paper will be followed by a law, and we end the stage, honorable members, that the law, depending on parliamentary processes, will be passed in 2015-16, and subsequent to that, we'll then have an NHI plan. And by that time, depending on how parliamentary processes go, we'll then have a fund that will be the basis on which purchases of services from providers on behalf of South Africans is being made. The next one, the minister always says that for NHI to succeed, there are two conditions. One, the cost of healthcare must be low, otherwise we will never afford national health insurance. The second is about quality. So currently, there's a market inquiry that is currently being conducted by the Competition Commission. We are awaiting the outcome of that, on the basis of which we are proposing that once the results are out, we recommend that there should be a national pricing commission that will implement some of the recommendations. For the primary healthcare, I've already mentioned one scheme of primary healthcare, which is work-based primary care. The second one, honorable members, is school health. In school health, we've targeted Quintal 1 and 2 schools. These are schools that we visit to establish whether children have been immunized, whether children have learning disabilities or not, whether there are cognitive problems, and so on. And we can safely say so far, for those schools that we visited, we actually have a report where children have sight problems. And the implications of that is that in some of the schools, they are put at the back of the classroom where they can't see. So we want to help teachers to then decide that these children must have assistive devices in the form of glasses, or whether they should be put in front where they can see better. Others have hearing problems. I think we have data for about, is it 28,000?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Data for 28,000 schools, then we can tell you exactly what the problems are. And we will be working with the allied health professionals to try and address some of these problems. We consulted them last week. But we also take disability and rehabilitation as an issue that needs special attention, in that we've just finished developing a framework for rehabilitation and disability services so that people can get access to assistive devices. And I know that when we talk about disability, when we say assistive devices, it's just a wheelchair. There are a whole lot of other assistive devices that are needed, hearing aids, glasses and crutches and other related assistive devices. The next one, honorable members, about quality of care. We have the Office of Health Standard Compliance. They've been doing mock inspections. They've already inspected 1,000 facilities. And we are beginning to see some of the improvements in some of the facilities. Others are not improving at the rate at which we would like. And we are making a commitment that we'd like to see quality improve in 2,325 primary healthcare facilities in 52 districts, ideally in 2018-19. And when you say 75%, meaning they must reach not less than 80% mark as determined by the Office of Health Standard Compliance. Some of them are in the range of 60, others 75. We are of the view that it's not good enough. We should at least reach a mark of 8, 80%, and we have a total of 3,075 primary healthcare facilities. So we are hoping that 75% we will reach this target. We are taking over the services, court health services, and this is in according to our international obligation. We are signatory to the international health regulations that were passed by the World Health Organization, and we have to implement this. This is to protect us, but also to protect other countries because of cross-border movement. For instance, honorable members, you saw in West Africa the Ebola outbreak. Now, these regulations are meant to prevent that, to ensure that when people who have hemorrhagic fever, for instance, when they walk, we can pick that up immediately. Yellow fever, for instance, we control that fiercely in South Africa, and I know that it's always a problem, but it's in the interest of health in this country, and it's required in terms of international health regulation. Honorable members, I've already referred to the Office of Health Standards Compliance and compliance with these standards. In South Africa, we've got 10 central hospitals. Not every province has a central hospital. These are linked to teaching institutions. For instance, in Gauteng, there are 4. In Western Cape, 2. In KZN, 2. Free State and Eastern Cape. Now, we are saying these 10 are actually supposed to be our centers of excellence, and we'd like them to look like centers of excellence. Not all of them look like that now. At least 5 are close to being centers of excellence, others are not. We would like to bring all of them to the same level of performance, but also of quality, so that we can pride ourselves as a country about these 10 centers of excellence. Honorable members, delivering an improvement of the quality of infrastructure. I just need to mention that we now have norms and standards for infrastructure. In the past, we did not have norms. Provinces were given grants for infrastructure, but we did not necessarily hold them to comply with the norms and standards. Now, we are going to ensure that these norms and standards are linked to conditional grants, meaning unless the province can show us, because we did an audit, we audited 3,900 facilities, and of those facilities, we know what the status of infrastructure is. And we make an argument that for every facility, before a province says we are going to build a new clinic and so on, they must also give us a plan for maintenance and refurbishment of the existing facilities. The health estate is a total of 350 billion, and we are arguing that unless we look after that estate, we have to replace the infrastructure at huge cost. So we would like every province to comply with the norms, but also link the norms to the grant, and also ensure that they invest in renovating, in refurbishing, in maintaining the existing facilities. So for the healthcare finance, we monitor the budget and expenditure of provinces. Honorable members, I need to mention that the minister came up with a proposal to have what is called non-negotiables. Non-negotiables are the allocations that make sure that the priorities, honorable members, like you asked earlier, as to how can we make sure that the programs and priorities are properly financed, that we don't have priorities and they're not allocated funding and so on, and therefore we end up not implementing. We have come up with a list of non-negotiables, meaning every province must make sure that they allocate funds. No province must say they do not have money for vaccines, so it means children will not be immunized. No province can say there's not, or we cannot hear that there's no food in a province, or patients did not have medicine. Every province must make sure they allocate. So we've got a list of non-negotiables, and we also developed a dashboard per province to show exactly how well they've allocated and how well they're spending money. And there's a CFO forum, they meet on a regular basis to actually discuss the non-negotiables. With regard to revenue retention, honorable members, like I said, we have started expanding beyond the few hospitals where we started, so that every province can collect revenue. But we'd also like for the central hospitals that they should retain the some of the revenue they've collected. The model is working very well in the Western Cape, and we would like to recommend that the similar model can be expanded beyond the Western Cape for other central hospitals. For human resources, I'll just say that the budget overview, honorable members, our total budget is 33.9 billion for this financial year, and about 88.7% is actually what we allocate to provinces. So almost 90% goes to provinces, so we're just left with 10%. Now, when I was talking about non-negotiable norms and standards for infrastructure, precisely because we would like the provinces to spend the money where it matters most, and for those priority areas. So we're linking norms and standards, non-negotiables, to the budget. That's the kind of alignment. And if possible, we'll just give you a list of the non-negotiables. The amount, this 88.7, is in a form of conditional funds. And this is a summary. Go to the next slide. The next one. This is a summary of the conditional grants. We have the schedule 4A, 5A, 6A. The first one is the Health Professions Training and Development Grant. The second one is the National Tertiary Services Grant. The other one is Comprehensive HIV/AIDS Grant, Health Facility Revive Grant, the National Health Insurance Grant, and we have the 6A, which is a new allocation that is kept at national level. This we kept so that where provinces do not implement, we can go and assist. So we set up that mechanism. And this is the National Health Insurance component, the Health Facility Revitalization component, and the Human Papilloma Virus component. The HPV is the one that is meant to prevent cervical cancer. That has started in schools where we are vaccinating the young ones. So I'll just ask the CFO to go through the grant system so that you can have a sense of the breakdown of the problem.
Okay, thanks. Chair, the next slide just talks to the growth, Michelle. It talks to the growth of these grants. It's just trying to illustrate to you that the grants on the professional services grown by 6% over the period, tertiary grant at 5.7%, at 60.9% the HIV, the revive grant at 2.3%, and the insurance grant to provinces grow by 44% over the first year of the period. The next couple of slides, Chair, is what you'll probably be dealing against when we report back to yourself, is then per province. Against the allocations of each grant. So we've given you the breakdown of the budget per province per grant. With the professional training grant, you'll see mostly it goes to Gauteng and Western Cape and KZN. The next grant is our tertiary services grant. Again, because of the bigger hospitals, the tertiary services hospitals in these provinces, we'll see Gauteng and Western Cape adding the bulk of this allocation. But the total allocation is 10 billion for the next financial year. And Chair, when we do come back to report against this, we will give you the expenditure against these allocations together with the variance, together with an analysis of the variance information. We obviously have to work closely with provinces and those grant managers in provinces to get this out of them. But we've got the process in place. We are budget support, volunteer support unit to do that. HIV/AIDS is one of the bigger grants at 12 billion. Mostly, I think, KZN and Western Cape. KZN has got the bigger allocation, mainly because of the uptake of these profiles. I'm sure we have to talk to that. The Levite grant, Chair, you will see that we've allocated 14, 15, 16. We have not yet allocated the 16, 17 budget. We're still evaluating the implementation plans of provinces. But we're well in time in terms of the dollar to do that when we do the next cycle of allocation. This grant has typically reduced slightly since last year and the year before, mainly because we found that many provinces don't spend all their funding. And we've also retained a certain amount at national level on this revitalization grant. NHI portion to provinces is there. It grows quite a bit from this year to next financial year. And most of these funds, as said then now, is committed in terms of the rollovers, the accruals that were generated by the previous financial year. Chair, I think the DG focused on non-negotiables. I won't go through it now, but maybe just for your understanding of what the background of it is. Just to say that many provinces did not adequately budget or their cash flow issues. And what we're trying to do is ring-fence a number of items within the chart of accounts, and we monitor provinces against it on a monthly basis. So as provinces conclude their in-year monitoring, they also conclude those dashboards, and we consider them together. So I think we established some reporting culture back to national on a monthly basis, and we take this back to the NAC with the minister and all the NECs. The components are those ones listed there. Those are the ones we regarded as most important, and we do review them on an annual basis in April to make sure that accounts are still valid and that we can still account for these things on a monthly basis. So let me leave it there on the financials.
Okay, thank you. I think that's the sum up. The rest of the other points will take up as you get questions or comments.
Okay, well, thank you very much for the presentation, and I apologize to Washington. And I'm hoping that you will have time tonight to go through all the questions. Because for us to be able to meet and we discuss in the community and see when we don't have cash of these other points. Can I open for members to make input or clarity or questions to the presentation?
Thank you, Comrade Chair. And let me also and let me also extend a little gratitude to the presentations by our Honourable Security Minister and our Director General. I think much of what has been presented is a guide and information to us, the committee. As the Honourable Chair has indicated, that much is expected of us to understand in detail what has been presented so that we play our oversight role adequately. I don't have much to say, mine was to say thank you very much for the insight that you have presented to us, and we shall meet as and when you will be able to move on. Thank you, Honourable Chair.
Thank you very much,
Mr. Chair.
So thank you for the presentation made by the Deputy Minister and the Deputy. They were very much enlightened to those of us that have been very much interested.
funding decisions for people in South Africa. When your minister was to be during SWANEC, we were all very excited to see the amount of work that the department actually did to improve the health supply in the country, and we look forward to seeing if the improving the quality of the given to me. So I want to say that we do hope that you are supporting him together with the minister, and we're going to do the work that we expect you to do, and you are going to write to the people. When the deputy minister gave his presentation, he mentioned the fact that the department is to move more towards preventative kind of medicine as compared to curative kind of approach. I don't know whether your budget is to be achieved. If this is what you need to achieve, then your budget should actually be achieved. We'd like to see that because it's going to alleviate the burden of having a huge budget, I mean, taking to take care of the curative measures as opposed to preventing the and I know that there's a lot involved. Education people about the importance of healthy living and nutrition and all the things. But I think the country should move towards the and your budget should then include today. That was my first question. My other question is with regard to the issue of HIV and AIDS. I know that a big chunk of funding is directed towards addressing the particular issue and the increasing number of people that are actually introduced to ARV. I know that TB is an opportunity to be. Are you increasing your allocation as well in that society? And what is the position of the department that to plan community of the diseases? I am paying focus attention also on accessing health issues because we would like to know what can just be changed and what are the right people to take care of that issue as well. To that extent, focus on the health of the government.
which was different was which actually is provisional but with the national participation. But my point in then is that those young people really come back from the exchange program. The problem that we're facing in the country is that they don't want to be built in the areas where they come from. Like for example, the issue that we're facing now, which is a crisis, is that we are still lacking a lot of doctors in the world. When they go inside the doctorate, ABC, CMI, and when they come back, they don't want to go and work in the world areas because there's no town houses and town houses. They all want to go into the areas of county, working to change the family. So our work areas in the league are actually being left out. This is a problem that actually has to be a serious response from the department. What is it that the department is doing to actually deal with this problem? The long-term non-negotiables for any department, I see in the presentation of the DC, you have highlighted, but I don't see the response from the department. What is it that you have been? If you have prescribed different long-term standards and the non-negotiables for the provincial department. And in a case where the department does not meet the long-term standards, that was set up from the department and the national department. What is it? Any sort of intervention for the level of the national department? What is the problem? I think those are the two areas that are just in establishing on the current issues that come to the government. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, thanks for the presentation and communication that we have concluded by the department. My first comment is on the issue of your NHI pilot site. I would appreciate that you give us the appraisal you spoke about. It would be interesting to note the state of your NHI site now and where they have come from before you started with the NHI pilot site so that you see what kind of improvement is there. And secondly, slightly related to the point that was raised by my colleague here, but I want to refer to the terms of the urban buyer of development, which does not only talk to your human resource, but it also talks to the infrastructure. Because what we notice is that in the rural areas, not just government and everybody else, your development seems to be biased towards towards the areas which are more developed. As a result, when you spoke about this, the issue of assets, the issue of quality, it's a tremendous issue with the wrong thing. Because once your infrastructure is there, but they still have the other logistical hiccups which they still have to go through in terms of transport and other issues. How do you plan to resolve that problem? And your monitoring of the food claims that you have spoken about, they sound very good. How do you ensure that down there, you spoke about what this is an interesting thing, how do you ensure that what you speak at national, what you speak at provincial level, what you speak at district level, and what actually takes place at the what level? You also spoke about In the issue of finances, so you spoke about the 500 graduates that you have deployed to the provinces, and then Masenke, KwaZulu-Natal, and Mpumalanga said they don't need it. I'm surprised, but I just want to find out what kind of impact this has had to those who said they don't need it. To the still maintain a PC that they don't need, irrespective of the kind of responses they're giving you. When you look at what it has done elsewhere. And lastly, I also would like to know the kind of gap that is there in terms of your budget, in your budget, between your actual and your wish list. I'm new here, I don't know what's happening. I just want to know what kind of wish list you have, what kind of budget you have, what is the gap in between, what is the kind of your shortage. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, Mr. Chief Cook, and the rest of the members. First
basically also to join Philippe, a very informative and interesting presentation by you. You're welcome. First, I would like to know, just probably to reiterate what my colleagues have said, any challenges, there must be challenges. Are there any challenges across all provinces? And if there are, what are the challenges? So that's the first one. Secondly, I think there's much money that's been allocated, especially on disability issues and all that. I want to know, what are the preventative measures that we have put in place? Have you put in place to prevent disability? And I'm talking in my mind, at the back of my mind, about the fetal alcohol syndrome, because we seem to be saving disability other than to prevent it. Mm-hmm. So what measures have we put in place to accommodate that we lessen the budget that we use each and every year towards disability other than to save more and keep running? That's the first one. I also welcome the promotion of healthy lifestyle, which promotes and facilitates a chronic disease, and I want to know what are you doing, what measures have you also put in place in terms of healthy lifestyles in those clinics, how do they promote it, and if you, the nurses and the doctors are promoting it, are they getting the information in the language of the people? Because most of the time you'll find with diabetes and high blood pressure, information is given in English, and in some of the areas people just collect documents not understanding the content, and you find instead of the problem disappearing, it gets exacerbated.
Thank you, Chair.
I also welcome on your slide, which is fixed on me on my heart document. The reengineering of primary health care, how are you doing it? If maybe on the next, through you, Madam Chair, on the next JJ, if I could unpack it. I welcome the idea, and I think it's a very good one that's coming up. The shortage of medicine is a very big problem, and sometimes some of our citizens go to health care clinics, and I'll mention one in the street here in Cape Town, where they had gone to collect some medicines and there was shortage of it. How are you doing it? And I suppose it's a one size fits all. If it's happening there, it will be happening in KZN. What's happening with that? Because as a diabetic myself, I cannot imagine how you survive when you feel your sugar levels are going down and you don't have the medication. Fortunately for me, I can quickly run to a chemist and accommodate myself. And I'm thinking of the person who does not even have an NHI insurance to go and accommodate that person. This is a kind of disease that can put one's life in jeopardy, and what are we doing about that? I know for a fact in Kailicha here in Cape Town, for those people who cannot go, I'm talking about the elderly and the severely disabled people who cannot go to hospitals. They have deployed the youth who are not working to do bicycle delivery here in the Western Cape, especially in Kailicha, for chronic medication to be delivered as a part of the door-to-door campaign to serve those people, because they cannot stay on long queues. The queues are very long. Okay? If I can just conclude, I welcome the fact that in schools, you are accommodating the hearing and the sight challenge learners. And I want to, and I know for a fact, having been a teacher for 20 years, sometimes as a teacher you don't pick up that the child does not see, and at the end of the day you label the child as being deaf or whatever. And I know they get to be put, it's so true what you're saying, they get to be put at the end and all that. And I know for a fact that teachers do not only have to be academic educators, they become social workers and psychologists in class. And I want to know from the Deputy Minister if you could also address the issue of how are you going to accommodate or help teachers not to focus on these issues of hearing, because they're not hearing for them. They can't pick up. You cannot, as a teacher, pick up that the child does not hear or does not see. What measures in place, because the district psychologists only come once per term in six months to a school. So by the time they come, the problem has exacerbated and has gone far ahead. Thank you.
Thank you.
Apologies.
Thank you, Chair. Let me join my colleagues for the applause to the department for the good work that we've done. But when I look at your strategic plan goals, I don't see time frames. You are stating the strategic plan for 2014-2019. But I don't see, some have got time frames, but others haven't. So I wonder on our oversight of the department, how are we going to be able to measure whether at the end of the year or quarter we have achieved what you want to achieve? And when I'm listening to the presentation, we've got a good story to tell, but I'm asking myself, when are you going to go to the community radio stations, to the national stations, so that the people out there should know what it is that this happening to sports? You are telling us here, but I wonder if those people down there, are they aware of these good intentions that you've got? And then I hear you talking about the Wilson communication. Is this information given going to be accessible to the public, or, I mean, those who are in the rural areas? If not, what are we going to do? The last one, Chair, I want to know, the special schools, to whom do they belong? Is it health? Is it basic education? Is it social development? And since disability has gone to social development, how do you interlude the social development?
Thank you very much, Honourable Members. Can I allow the vote for a few minutes? Oh, yeah. There was one question that I was covered.
I just want to share with you, since I was with you, with regard to your problems, because everybody knows that the proper problems is under administration. We are in the field of democracy now, and we think much of the national administration has assisted the problems for that period that the state and the problems. Then how is the proper problems going to manage its financial in moving forward to see that all these good plans that we're getting in the support are implemented as expected.
No, I had already requested the department to briefly respond, but bearing in mind that you can't respond on everything, I think it's clear that you need another question. Because even from our side, because I've got plenty of questions, I think members think that do have, will need to have another time just to cover these other information that take it and into the presentation.
So I thank honorable members and honorable chairperson. I want to concur with the last comment of the chair. I think we can't in any way suggest that we have done that, especially to the honorable members who represent, you know, when you talk about the ground, you represent the ground, because interact directly with the constituencies and the province. So we would really wish to have it a full day, and which will come at another time. In terms of just quickly on the administration issue of Limpopo, the matter is receiving attention. The intention is really, at the present moment, there is a lot of problems in terms of stabilizing the financial and the management of the health department and the other departments. And even today, as we speak, the cabinet team is meeting with Limpopo to look at the progress made. And actually, in a view towards now, national governments migrating out of the province and supporting while the province takes over those functions with the continuous assistance. Just on the other issues that the chair has indicated, to the DG with the guidance, but not all the issues one by one. But just to say, in relation to one of the earlier questions about the balance between spending the budget on curative services, that promotion and prevention, just to say that that remains our strategic focus. To say that we, you know, if you look at even on a major disease battle like HIV/AIDS, that increasing the only solution is when we start to win the battle in terms of fewer and absolutely, ultimately, hopefully, no new infection. That speaks to prevention. And that speaks to all other, whether we talk about TB, whether we talk about, non-communicable diseases. But while that is the primary strategic focus, both in terms of the national plan and our own strategic plans and goals, the unfortunate reality of life in there is that, you know, when what really puts the pressure is when people are already in, if you look at, take HIV and TB just as an example, the fact that you are sitting with a burden of over 5 million, you know, people infected already, it means you have to do something. And that's why over the last 5 years, the shift, if you remember that, while it was strategically correct even previously to emphasize on prevention, but when you don't deal with the immediate, which is the person who's already sick, then you also lose the second. So you would find that as much as our philosophy is really premised on health promotion and prevention, but what drains the resources now is actually dealing with the burden of the disease now. So we spend a lot of our money on treatment in terms of HIV/AIDS, on TB, on various other, even the non-communicable diseases. You'll find that they're not, we wish that in future, the budget will be more skewed towards spending more on prevention. But as long as currently we have a major burden of actually a sick society, a community, we must deal with that. So that's really just at a broad level.
Thank you. Just to say to all of our members, for each of the areas, we have a strategy. We have a strategy for non-communicable diseases. We have a strategy for HIV/AIDS. We have a strategy for sexual and reproductive health, for contraception. So every area has a strategy, and every area has a detail about the kind of action we're going to be embarking upon, including a nursing strategy, human resource for health strategy. So we've got all these strategies. I think what we're going to be focusing on, honorable member, is to implement those strategies. So this is sort of an overview of the key activities that we'll be embarking upon. And this is what I wanted to raise and summarize, and perhaps when we come, we'll come with a set of documents for each member, of each of the strategic documents that covers both preventive and promotion activities. And and some of the investments that we are making. Because in some areas we work with the development partners, donor countries, in other areas we use the World Bank support, in others it's the Global Fund resources. So this is the overall.
Maybe just to also just to say that just because of lack of time, the honourable member raised about time frames. There are specific time frames on all of them. When we have enough time, then we can be able to go into those. But they will also be covered. You will find that in, you know, in the operational plan, you will find the timeline that we can speak to them in the future. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. A few issues that we from what the members were raising as well as the expenses that we have considered. In fact, we did have some little time of looking at your APC in the budget. We feel that the other ones, which are part of political issues, like your NPC, and also what you are considering, and also what it does to the your resources, your budget is also critical. That's the last one that is the only thing that is the need of the primary health care. The budget has been declined. But it comes on the NDP and on your business as a family, but the budget is declined. That tells you that you're not going to be able to realize that priority. Just look at that. Then also on HIV and AIDS with the latest TB, which is very much related to HIV and AIDS, the budget also is declined. So look at that. There are a number of them, but I just want also to flag the issues that have been emphasized by the members. The staff are please welcome us all to attend those policies. Besides that, members of the committee, we know what is happening. That is when I was referring to you that there is a lot that you can learn from home as a staff department. The staff attitude, like you correctly indicated, that it's more on the management. But you are at the right position to deal with this issue. It's got to change. It's got to change. And with all the good work that the department is doing, what the minister or the executive is saying, committed to do in the department. But what is happening where there is at the civil delivery function, okay. Belong to. People need to give you example. People went up a street to get a number to get that under 8. So it can't work like that. It's like, there's no government. Let's try and deal with these issues. Again, it goes to the management. If we can deal with those issues, because the fund that guys are there, because eventually they do get them. But how best they give them out to the people who get them. What is when they know that they do the collection drugs on each day? It is that one has to be addressed. I just wanted to also, the other issue that was an emphasis in the standards. We spoke about standards. I want to give an example. I know it happens with a number of clinics in the country, especially the public. Hopefully, people can come along. We see the clinic over. You see what we're talking about. Standards. Talk about them here in this office, but when you go there, they're really not there. They try and improve there. It also overshadows the whole good work that we're doing at the department. One concern on HIV is 1994, when I was working for this department, KwaZulu-Natal was number one. Kumalang was number two. Until today, the state has turned. I don't know whether you are afraid. It tells us something that about the intervention that was bringing in those two provinces. I know.
know that in terms of the infection rate, we are decreasing. But because of my family, number one, Kumala is still number two. Maybe something we are not doing right in those provinces. It can't be simple. Let's try and see how best to turn around the we team colleagues, DG said we would be like, would like to run the system. I realize that you have a very good sense of the future. So the problem is not yours, but one thing. Because we say, I did not hear you talking about the support that you're going to give the office of the premier in dealing with the issues that are affecting the country. Can we be clear what you're going to be doing then, or try when you come back and let us what are the programs that you have put in place to assist the department in the public, also the premier in dealing with the department. Then, we do take this one day, maybe one day or 2 days to the vision of the community, but also the record on the ICT information technology. The system that we research would really want to have that a workshop because it will affect us when we go to those facilities to do everything. Then finally, there are three questions that I don't know the exchange. You have your 5-year strategy. You have MTF, if I'm correct. Then it's your APP. Our focus today was more on the APP and the budget. Because the APP, it gives us your clear indicator to deliver the support and the budget. That is what we should do over time, and this is so maybe, again, like we said, the time is to be not have enough time to go through that. But in our next meeting, this is just the case. We are, like the honorable president, we more representing for the interest of provinces. That is the main difference between us and the national. As much as we are one of the two houses that comes to Parliament, but we're more interested in provinces. Your presentation should be speaking more to provinces, and so that we can see what is happening. He said the evidence. I want to say, who would want to see the rural fire approach in terms of the program? The feeling is like we're focusing more on urban areas. You spoke about the central hospitals. I will refer to the central hospitals. Or these are two different things. Okay. I know that she also has to meet other hospitals. In Mpumalanga, every day, there is transport that is taking people from Mpumalanga to Gauteng. You talk about that,
isn't
it?
Yes.
I would suggest that we rather consider building those to public. Reason being that one, we are making instances to be disorganized. Because they don't know how many people will be coming from this other province. I don't think it's Mpumalanga alone. It could be other provinces. Then secondly, the process of taking the patients. You know, because the transport is at around about 4. Mm-hmm. I was the mayor there. I know because people will call me and say, mayor, we've been here for almost 2 days. We don't have food. People sit there and the police. That is the process that takes place when a patient is transported to the county. If we could consider building those processes to provinces, I agree with you, we have to make them excellent or whatever, how good they are. But if you consider long term, building those to those provinces that we don't have, we take something for
number of issues. So I think that is one example of what we're going to need. But we want to thank you very, very much for the good work that you're doing as a head of the party. We acknowledge that we are just raising these issues for future. And thank you very much for coming, and especially to the honorable gentleman. I really appreciate your presence in this meeting. Thank you very much.